Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, everyone. It's Charmaine with Positive Radio. You know, we're at the time right now where we're doing holidays and camping and picnics and eating dinner outside in the sunshine in the backyard. And what about if your dog or cat was to take something off your plate, like a hamburger or something, or be annoying you when you're trying to eat outside? We have had a dog who did that. He was a master sneak. And you would turn your back and food would disappear off the off the picnic table. So we're going to be talking today with Amy Shojay. And she's actually been on our show before. I love having her on the show. She's a certified animal behavior consultant and also the award-winning author of Are You Sitting Down? 30 best-selling books. I'm inspired by that. I'm an author. And boy, oh boy, 30 best-selling books. And they cover fur babies to old fogies, first aid to natural healing, and behavior training to chicken stupidity. And she created puppiesabout.com as the puppy expert and was also the cat behavior expert at catsabout.com. And you can find her half-hour internet pet peeves radio show. I bet that's a lot of fun. She's been featured as an expert in more media than you can imagine, including things like magazines like and newspapers like New York Times, Reader's Digest, Family Circle. She's been on TV everywhere, radio everywhere, and she is just an amazing individual. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Charmaine. This is always so much fun to talk with you.
Oh, you too. Now, we were talking offline. You had a cat that sounded like my dog, where there was a little bit of a sneaking food. So maybe share that with the audience.
Yes, I had a little cat that showed up on my back patio a little over a year ago. And as with a lot of those rescue babies that don't know where they're going to get their next meal, he was food motivated big time, and he would do what I call the snatch and grab, and he stole a kebab off my husband's plate and took off with it across the room. And my husband, being the great pet person that he is, figured, you know, 10-second rule, and he rescued it and got it back. But
the rescue of the kebab.
Oh, you bet. Oh. No, and I have a German Shepherd also who is very much a food hound and has been known to, I mean, he's tall enough. I will put thawing foods like a chicken breast in the sink to thaw, and I've learned to put it inside a container because he will stand up and get things out of the sink.
Wow.
So those are all, you know, cats cruise the countertops. Dogs can get things on tables or off a plate, especially if you're outside picnicking and you have to get into the grill.
So how do we, what can we do? Because I bet there are loads of listeners listening to the show nodding their head up and down saying, yep, my dog took a kebab too, or you know, I remember going to an outing. It was a birthday party, and all of a sudden I was in the other room, and I heard, oh, no, it was like slow motion. And I guess the dog, they had just blown the candles out, and the dog got all excited about all the excitement with the clapping and then spotted the cake and I guess ran over and just, you know, took one full lick across the whole cake of ice cream and or of icing. And how do we stop that? What do we do as pet parents?
Well, there are a couple of things you can do. And probably if you don't have a lot of time, management is the easiest thing. And that's just, you know, if you're outside in the backyard, then, you know, the dog and the cat stay inside in the kitchen, and or, you know, or in their room,
mm-hmm.
and you give them their own fun treats on the inside. You can do something like, I love getting like those old empty ice cream bucket containers and fill it full of water and stick toys in it and treats in it and maybe put a little bit of chicken soup broth in there, freeze it, and then you've
awesome.
Got a popsicle for the dog to lick and play with, and that'll give him something legal to do, you know, and scoot around on the patio while you're out having your hamburgers and stuff. So you can do that. You can also train what I call a contradictory behavior, so that when you are eating, you train the dog to sit or to go find his ball or his treat toy so that he actually does get something, and you sitting down at the table or the picnic table is his signal that, oh, boy, now it's my turn to get my treat, and he goes off and he gets his thing.
Wow, I love that. I love that. You know, I had a big aha a couple of weeks ago that sometimes I think we train our pets to do things they're not supposed to do. And I'll give you an example. I was eating some toast. I was eating some toast, and there was I didn't have the crust. And I thought, oh, I'll give Toby that little tiny piece. And then as I went to go and do that, I thought, nope, because I saw him drool, and I went and put the crust in the recycling bin instead, because I thought, why would I do that? First of all, he doesn't need bread. Second, why would I do that? I'm training him now to be a mooch if I do that. So I'm so glad that somebody's voice was in my head saying, don't do that, don't do that.
Well, you know,
it's part of our habits, don't we? We love to
treat our pets, but yeah, rewarding the dog that's drooling at the table. I mean, if you, we have dog gates in our kitchen, so
mm-hmm.
we can, you know, put the dog outside the kitchen when we're eating, the cat too, and then afterwards, if you do have something that's healthy, there's nothing wrong with giving them a little treat, but you put it in their bowl after you
yes.
eat, so that they know
right.
that, hey, you know, those puppy dog, sad puppy dog eyes, you're not sorry, they ain't working with me, bub, you know.
Oh, I know the eyes, they can get you every time. Well, these are awesome tips so far. So part of it is we have to train our pets right instead of what I almost made the mistake on. And we've got to show them I love what you talked about, putting their treat in their food dish so that they're not being trained to be moochy. And
exactly.
that they also, and I love that what you talked about, the popsicle, that is just genius. But also setting them up for success in terms of, whether it's having them inside while you're outside at the barbecue or sectioning off an area so that they're still learning those boundaries. Anything else we can do to create etiquette with our pets? I mean, it's like teaching kids manners. How do we teach our dogs these manners?
Sure. It's a lot of it is training our guests also, because if you've got family members or, you know, the neighborhood gets together for a pool party or whatever, you need to tell them what are the pet rules of the house so that they aren't breaking those rules. And it's a safety issue as well, because if
yes.
you have a cat jumping up on your countertops and a stovetop that's hot, they get those, you know, countertop cruising cats. And dogs will do it too. They can get their paws burned if they jump up on the grill and get their paws burned. I mean, there's some real
mm-hmm.
danger issues there. So always have something that's legal for them, something that is a really great, healthy treat. I love kitty caviar for the cats, which is a flaked bonito. It's a fishy, smelly flavor that cats absolutely adore. Dogs love it, too, but it's a little expensive to do it for a German Shepherd-sized dog. And then the canine fat-free treats are a great way to treat dogs without unbalancing their nutrition, because, you know, we want to keep them lean, mean, petting machines, too. So,
yeah.
you know, and all of those two are two of my favorites. They're available at the pethealthystore.com also. Folks can check those out.
Perfect. Pethealthystore.com.
Right.
Perfect. And I love what you're talking about, is that we have to take some responsibility as the pet parents to train our pets right, so that we're not helping them learn bad habits. And I know I've certainly done that, Amy. My gosh, Toby's done something that was maybe not appropriate, but it's funny, and I laugh. And of course,
yes.
What does he do 5 minutes later? I mean, they learn that quickly. It gets a reaction.
They
do it again. Oh, my gosh.
And they train us. I mean, dogs and cats are experts at training us. And, you know,
yes.
some dogs and cats, they love treats or they love toys as a reward. There are a lot of cats and dogs that love making us laugh. That's their reward. And, you know, you can try your best to keep a straight face and, I don't know, you crack a smile and it's like, yes, I got her. I'm going to do that again.
So we've got to make sure we're training our pets right and we're allowing them to train us the proper way, not to create bad habits. And I love what you were talking about is being aware of the habits and our routines around the house so that, and I know I always have to be conscious of that with Toby. This guy just picks things up so quickly. And when I've noticed that when I have a routine that seems pretty typical and pretty normal, he's just a happy, content dog. And then when we do fit something that's a little different, like he's, for example, he's really used to the vacuum. Doesn't like it, but he's used to it. But the other day we brought out the steam cleaner. So, you know, different noise, different routine. So he thought, oh, they're vacuuming. So he was rolling his ball around where we would normally vacuum. But, of course, now the carpet feels different. And he started to get actually a little anxious. And I thought, wow, isn't this interesting? And so it just got me thinking about how important routines are and the tone that we set in our home for our pets.
Right. And our cats and dogs, you're absolutely right. They pay just exquisite attention to their environment and what's happening and cause and effect. And if they recognize that, you know, every time you get up at a certain time of the day and then you go and you brush your teeth or whatever, and the cat or the dog, they follow you and that routine changes slightly, it throws them off because they think, okay, well, then what's going to happen? You know, I want a routine so I know what to expect, when I'm going to be fed, when I'm going to be petted, when we go to play ball. So if we are very conscious of that and make a point of scheduling things, it's a great comfort to our pets. It builds confidence. And stress is one of the biggest problems we have with pets. It can cause all kinds of health issues. So if you can give your pet the gift of confidence just by establishing a happy routine, oh my gosh, that's so much, and you're going to save money on vet bills, I promise you.
Well, and you know, it ripples out. I know when we're healthy, when we're on task, when we're consistent, it helps our pets be that way. And I mean, it's just about the quality of life for not only our human family members, but our pets as well. And if they never know what the rules are, if the rules are changing every day, I would anticipate we're just making an unhappy, stressed-out dog or cat.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's like, as I said, when you have guests come over, make sure that they know your rules, but just within the family, too. I mean, if you've got kids that will allow the dog, you know, that will feed them under the table, and then you and your husband or your significant other have very stringent rules the opposite, well, guess what? The dog's going to go to the kid and sneak, and that's going to undermine your training. It's going to confuse the dog when he's punished for doing something that he's allowed to do other times. It's not fair. I mean, it's not fair
exactly.
to change the rules.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Wow, you just, you know what, Amy, you packed so much into a short interview. I didn't think it's possible to fill 2 pages of notes when I talk to you. That happens all the time. Amy,
we're a good team.
We are. Just tons of amazing tips. Now, where do people find you on the web?
Oh, they can go to my website at shajai.com, and that's shojai.com. And if they ever have cat or dog questions, I actually do some online Ask Amy questions, and there's a link on the site, so they can click there and get some quick questions answered. And for more in-depth things, of course, all the books are listed as well.
Perfect. And what we'll do, folks, is we'll make sure we have those links to Amy in our blog as well that we do so that you can follow up. And Amy is just such a resource of information, as you can tell, with everything she's packed into this conversation today. So my challenge to everyone is to, let's set our pets up for success this summer. Let's have a great summer where our pets know the rules and routines, where we can enjoy our picnic without food being snuck away, and where our dogs and cats are just happy and eating what they're supposed to be eating. That's my challenge, and now I'm going to challenge myself to stick to that this summer too, Amy.
Okay, well, and just convince your cats and dogs to do the same. That's the trick.
That is the trick. Well, my trick will also be following my rules and being consistent. That'll be my homework too. Well, Amy, thank you so much for being on the show. And give your website out one more time for everyone listening, if you don't mind.
Sure. That's shojai.com, and that's shojai.com.
Amy, thank you so much for being on the show. And you just share so many practical tips that we can use in our families. And I really appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much for having me. Now go pet all the pets for me.
I will. Thanks, Amy. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, boy, oh, boy, Amy just offers so much rich content. And I took away so much from Amy around the animal world that I could actually use in the workplace world. So Amy talked about the importance of consistency and setting our pets up for success and not changing the rules and not setting them up for failure. And what about if we did that in our workplace? For example, when we go into our workplace, we have all kinds of rules and policies and guidelines and systems and processes. What if we were to focus on making sure everyone had the right training to implement those? And then second, what about if we communicated those in a way that everyone understood them? And then if we were consistent, what would that do in our workplace? What kind of environment would that create? Based on what Amy was saying in the dog world, it sounds like it would create an environment that is stable, that's consistent, where people are set up for success, and where there's a lot more happiness and less stress. So those were a couple of takeaways that I took away from Amy and her interview. And a couple of other things I think that help produce successful workplaces is clear communication. Amy alluded to that actually around how we communicate with our pets. It's the same in the human world. If we communicate information that isn't accurate, or we try and speak in a way where we hope people are going to read our mind, you know, speaking in innuendos, we set up conflict and fail communication. Whereas if we communicate clearly and we double check that people understand our message, and if we follow up and if we act on communication in a consistent way, it teaches people how to communicate with us. Just like Amy was saying in the dog world, we teach people how to be with us. So if we want people to communicate respectfully, eloquently, consistently, concisely, we actually have to model that. We teach people how to treat us. That's my big challenge for you as you walk away this week, just to pay attention to how you're communicating, what messages are you giving off, and how can you create more positive, effective communications and workplaces. We are going on our Million Acts of Kindness Tour, folks. We are really committed to building kinder workplaces across North America, and we're going to be doing that through our Million Acts of Kindness Tour. We launch in September from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, 10,000 miles, 100 communities, 25,000 students, and thousands of professionals in workplaces just like yours. I really hope we get the opportunity to come to your community. If you want to find out where we're going, what we're going to be up to, I'd say head on over to Facebook and look up The Original Team Toby. And actually, the website's the same, theoriginalteamtoby.com. Twitter is Team Toby with the number 2. We want you to stay in touch with us. Share what you're doing in your workplace, home, or community to build a kinder environment. We'd also love to hear the stories of how kindness has impacted you. Has someone done an act of kindness that just impacts you even years later? We'd love to hear about that, because I know one thing for sure, kindness breeds kindness. So the more that we can talk about kindness, the more we share our stories of kindness, the more kindness we can create together in the world. We couldn't do this tour without amazing people and partners, such as the Original Poop Bags, who've been on us with all of our tours now to date, and so has Petland Canada. We're going to be doing some incredibly fun events with both of those businesses. And of course, we also have Canadian Traveler Magazine. If you've not checked out their website, you want to go to canadiantraveler.com. I bet you some of you listening have a bucket list item, a place you want to go and visit. And, you know, Canadian Traveler has amazing articles about people just like you and I who have traveled to different places around the world, and they share their stories. We also have incredible partners from the Women in the Pet Industry Network, such as Earth Heart. And we also have Pet Hub. And they're being supportive not only with how they're contributing to our tour, but also helping us get the message out. Next week, I'll share some more of our incredible partners from WIPN and from other businesses. But until we meet again, let's go out there and be kind.